The Volume.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code Shannon. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's the code Shannon, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us again for another episode of Nightcap. I'm your favorite unc, Shannon Sharp. He's your favorite number 85, route runner extraordinaire, Bengals Ring of Fame honoree, That's Pro me. Bowler, all pro. And he's Liberty City's own, Chad Ochocinco Johnson. Thank you for staying up late with us. That was a very, very exciting ball game. Please make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like Club Shesha, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and please make sure you guys subscribe to the Nightcap podcast feed. You can listen to us through the Club Shesha feed, but we would greatly appreciate it if you subscribe and listen to us through the Nightcap podcast feed. Thank you guys for selling out Shea by LaPortier. We pinned the link at the top of the chat. We're taking pre-orders only, and thank you kindly for your patience. Ocho, let's get right into it.
Yeah.
The Nuggets, buzzer beater by Jamal Murray. The Lakers had him right where they want him. Anthony Davis started the game 14 of 15 from the field. D'Angelo Russell tied a Lakers franchise record with 7 made threes. LeBron James, 12 of his 26 points in the fourth quarter, along with 12 assists and 8 rebounds, was not enough because Jamal Murray, big shot Jamal.
Yeah.
In the first 7 quarters in this series, he's shooting 12 of 40 from the field. He went 6 of 8 to hit the game win in the fourth quarter, and he was sensational. But the Lakers have no one to blame but themselves for being in this situation because they keep turning the ball over. And I thought LeBron James in the third quarter let this game get away from the Lakers because they went to the switch because Jokic had no answer for AD. They put Gordon on AD. They put Jokic on Rui. Right. Now LeBron has KCP. He's horse dallying around with the ball at the top of the key. Right. He's looking to pass the ball. Do what you did in the fourth quarter. Do that in the third quarter when you got KCP. There is no way KCP should be able to keep you on the outside.
You got, so you got this,
You got to take advantage of those situations, especially in the third quarter. You got to, what's the quote you always say about having a lead at a certain time? How much lead you get?
Separation.
How much separation you get at a time like then in the third quarter, then you never come down to a last minute shot for Jamal Murray to be able to hit a shot like that in the fourth quarter because you've extended the lead in the third and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. And I thought that shot at the end, I don't understand. There's a 6 second differential in the shot clock and the game clock. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why would LeBron take a shot with 13 seconds on the clock? You still have 7 seconds to play with.
Right.
You want to give them as little time on the clock as you possibly can.
Right.
Why would you shoot that shot? I understand he's going for the dagger, but you have to understand you had lost momentum of this ball game. Yeah. A lot of things happened that was fluky. You get a 3-point lead. You almost get a turnover. Aaron Gordon saves the ball right to MP, Michael Porter Jr.
Right.
He hits a three. Like I said, you couldn't script a better game for the Lakers. Anthony Davis give you 32 and 11.
Balling.
D-Lo, I knew D-Lo. I said he'd hit at least five threes. Mm-hmm. He gives you seven. This is a game. LeBron's got to close it. He's got to bring it home.
Yeah.
He played well in the fourth, but the third quarter is where you let them make up the difference. You had a 22-point lead.
Right.
If you don't want to keep that 22-point lead, at least at the bare minimum, Ocho, you had a 15-point lead to start the fourth. Mm-hmm. You've got, you had a 15-point, no, it was a 15, what, the 15-point lead to start the fourth quarter? What was the lead to start? When did they have a fifth? That was the third. The third quarter is when they had a lead.
Right.
And they ran it to 22, and that was the opportunity to push it. But I thought LeBron let KCP, 20-point lead in the third. That's where I thought LeBron let KCP dictate to what he was going to do because he played on the outside entirely too much. Look at what he did in the fourth quarter.
Yeah
he hit those two threes, but he got downhill. That's what he needed to do on KCP in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Keep attacking. Make them foul you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he blew a couple of layups, but I don't care about that.
Right.
I've got to keep attacking. I've got to keep the pressure on them. This was demoralizing. They're going to say all the right things after the game. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, hey, we blah, blah, blah. But this one hurt.
Yeah.
This one hurt. This one's going to have lasting ramifications. Mm-hmm.
You got to steal. When you're playing away, obviously in the playoffs, you got to be able to steal a game away. You got to be able to steal a game away. And if you were going to steal a game away from home, this would have been the game to do it. The Lakers gave their best effort tonight. D'Lo played very, very well after a horrible shooting performance in game one. AD, yep. I don't know what the hell AD ate before this game, but man, he was a monster. Him and LeBron working the pick and roll in the paint, shooting mid-range, driving, going to the hole from the foul line. He was on fire tonight. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the rest of the supporting cast has to come through. They have to come through and give you more because tonight we saw a great game from the Lakers, basically really all around from the three. I would call it their big three. Their big three. We saw a great game all around. And hell, Jamal Murray wasn't shooting well
until the fourth quarter.
Until the fourth quarter. And then all of a sudden, when it mattered most, he hits the game winning shot.
If somebody would have told me AD is going to have 32 and 11, mm-hmm. LeBron James is going to have 26, 12 and 8, mm-hmm. and D'Lo have 23 on 7 made threes,
I say there's no way they're losing this game. Exactly.
And Jamal Murray is going to shoot 9 of 24 from the field. I say they're not losing this game.
Right.
But you look, the turnovers. The Lakers shot a high percentage. They shot 5% higher from the field.
Right.
They shot 20% higher from the 3-point line. But the Nuggets shot 10 more shots. Because you know why? The Lakers had 14 turnovers. The Nuggets had 9. Mm-hmm. So those, and they got washed on the glass again. They got out rebounded by 7. They got out rebounded on the offensive glass by 5.
Right.
But this was a game I thought they let get away in the third quarter because I think when Mike Malone made the switch because he put Aaron Gordon on AD, KCP on LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron need to go get 14, 16 points in the third quarter and make sure. So now the Nuggets are going to be on the bench. Their starters, they're like, they're down 35. Hey, we can't come back. We'll get them on Thursday.
Yeah. That's tough. That's tough. I mean, it has to be demoralizing. Obviously, LeBron LeBron going to say all the right things, but I think that third quarter is when that killer mentality should come into play.
Yes.
That killer, that Michael Jordan, that Kobe Bryant type mentality. Oh, this is what we doing? It's somewhat of a sign of disrespect, almost. Not in that right, but I'm just saying, if you put KCP on me, I'm finna take you to the blender.
Yes,
I'm finna take you to the blender. Ain't no way in hell you think he finna, man. What? It is what it is. I think it makes it that much more difficult for them now. Obviously, come Thursday.
Yeah. How much better are you gonna play?
They playing at home, right? They playing at home, right?
But how much better are you gonna play? AD went 14 or 19. D'Lo was 8 of 8. D'Lo was 50% from the floor, 7-11 from three. Right. LeBron was 9 of 19. He was 50% from the three.
Mm-hmm.
How much better are you gonna play?
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer you're killing that with a sledgehammer. You don't swap at it. You're killing that with a sledgehammer.
Right. This would have been the game. This would have been the game to steal away from home. If you're going to get one, this was the one to have.
Yes. But the same thing, turnovers. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I need LeBron. I wish I could hear what LeBron said. When LeBron comes to the mic, let me know. Because I need to know what he was thinking shooting the ball with 13 seconds on the clock.
Mm.
Why would you shoot the ball with that kind of time on the clock? That makes absolutely, even if you make the three, you still gave them 13 seconds.
Right.
Even if you make it.
Well, what do you think? What do you think the Lakers need to do to win game three? Should they continue to play through AD?
Yeah, they play through AD, but how much better do you think you can play?
Mm-hmm.
AD was 14 of 19.
Yeah. I mean,
D'Lo was 8 of 16. Yeah, I think Rui must have talked to Michael Porter Jr. brother, because he took the under on his point total. I think his point total was like 8. He took the under, and he cashed out. He had 3 points. And the shots that he missed, I'm like, Rui, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
Did AD eat before the game? What the hell did Rui eat?
You know what? That momentum as a player and that confidence, it might follow through in game three. Maybe D'Angelo might come through and be just as efficient from the field as he was this game in game two. Same thing for AD. Yeah, if you're coming off a performance like this, you're coming in into game three probably with that same type of rhythm and flow to your game, and you pick up where you left off and hope you can steal one at home. Because if you go down, oh, goddamn three, well, shit, you might as well start packing for Cancun.
Look at this. Anthony Davis in game one, what's he go? 34, 32, 15, and 5.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron, tonight he goes 32 and 11.
Right.
LeBron goes 26, 12, and 8. D'Lo gives you 23 on 7-11.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron had 28 the other night.
Right.
And double-digit rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
So your big guns are going off. D'Lo goes, he joins them tonight, and you still lose.
So what I mean,
if my quarterback Ocho, if Carson Palmer threw for 350, the running back runs for 175,
mm-hmm.
the defense get 3 sacks and a pick six, and you still lose.
Right.
You're like, what we do? I mean, we can't play no better than what we played.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers can't play any better. Lakers not playing any better than that because they turned the ball over.
Oh, so you think the turnovers are the only reason they lost? If you eliminate the turnovers, if you minimize the turnovers, you think the Lakers win this game?
What the hell? How many turnovers they had the other night on Saturday? Because they had 14 tonight. I think they might have been close to 20 the other night. No, I mean, give the Nuggets credit. What makes the Nuggets so great is that when they get you in a situation, they're going to get every shot they want. Mm-hmm. If you look at what they did, they kept picking, keep you in the pick and roll.
Over and over. Murray,
it's a two-man game.
Mm-hmm.
It's Murray and Jokic. And they keep in the pick and roll. They keep in the dribble drive. They keep in the dribble handoff. Oh, you take away. Okay, Michael Porter Jr. is lurking to get off a three.
Right.
But they're so great. And Jokic is so good. His touch is so great around the rim. Murray's touch is so great. He's shooting floaters. He's laying it up. Yeah, they're difficult to beat. If you're not up by like 16, 20, under 4 minutes to go, if it's a close ball game,
it's tough.
You've got to execute on the other end because you know they're going to execute on their end.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know how much better the Lakers can play than what they played last night. And they still found a way to lose the game.
Yeah. I mean, listen, obviously, if you eliminate some of those turnovers, some of those turnovers are turned into points. I think they have a good chance. The chances of the big three again playing as well, being that they're playing at home, I think they have a good chance to repeat tonight's efficiency and scoring from the field. So if they can do that at home, I mean, I think they have a good chance. But you got to minimize those turnovers because those turnovers turn into points.
Oh, Joe. The Nuggets tracked them down in game one from down 11-12. They tracked them down tonight by 20. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I don't believe you can beat me. In your mind, you don't believe you can beat me.
Me either. Yeah.
There's two minds. The mind is a strong muscle.
Right.
You know what has happened. They know what has happened.
Yeah.
So Darvin Ham, what does he say? What does he stand up there and say? Good game. I mean, hard fought. We played hard.
Mm-hmm.
You had a big lead. End up, you know, and I was concerned game one because I saw AD and LeBron going off and you're only up three. And it took a 30-foot three to put you up three. They had to cut that down. Now tonight, you have a 20-point lead. Right. AD's going haywire. D'Lo going haywire.
Mm-hmm. Well, hell,
and they run you down.
You know, that's crazy. Nuggets have now beat the Lakers 10 consecutive times. Shit, dating back to their last season. So obviously, some teams you play, they always have your number. So as a head coach, what do you do? Is this something that you can blame on Darvin Ham? Because Darvin Ham ain't out there on the court.
Well, Darvin Ham helped you get that 20-point lead. People, here's the thing. We got to stop. Okay, we blame Darvin Ham when they lose, but you don't give him any credit when they win.
Right.
It's the players on the court. They didn't get it done. It was too many turnovers, the offensive rebounds, and like I said, they were sloppy. The Lakers are one of the best clutch teams. Them and the Mavericks were the best clutch teams in basketball. Last 5 minutes of the game was in five.
Yeah.
And tonight, they didn't get it done. And you needed this game because you played so well for 46 minutes.
Right.
46 minutes you played well. The game is 48.
You got to finish it off.
Yeah. We had another barn burner tonight.
The fact that we had two games have spectacular endings, and I'm on the edge of my seat like a goddamn little kid.
Yeah. Darvin Ham said, it stings. Remember this feeling as we go back to L.A. We need to give them this feeling in game three. No, you can't. I mean, bro.
You got to do something. And the only thing I can think of is minimize those turnovers, turn some of those turnovers into points. And I think you said.
Can D'Lo have another shooting game like this? Sure.
Yeah.
Can AD score another 30 and give you a 30 double-double?
Absolutely. Sure.
Can LeBron? Sure. But look at Jokic, 27, 20, and 10.
But there's no answer. There's no answer for him, though.
No. But there's see, no, that's what you do. No, but answer. Here's the thing. Oh, Joe. If you look at Jokic, 27, 20, and 10. Murray had 20. Michael Porter Jr. had 22. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the scores, they cancel each other out. So they got 49, they got 81 between their big three. They got 47, 69. And then when you throw in Gordon's 14, that's 83. Mm-hmm. So you straight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you hope for. You say, okay, now we need AD and LeBron to cancel out Jokic and Murray.
Mm-hmm.
We need D'Lo to cancel out one of the other big guns. Okay, D'Lo canceled out Michael Porter Jr. Aaron Gordon gave you 14. He outscored Rui and Austin Reeves by himself.
Mm.
He had 14. They had 12.
Combined or a piece?
Together.
Okay. Shit.
So, and you lose by two. But hey, give the Nuggets credit. I don't want to harp too much on it, but I think the Nuggets deserve a lot of credit. But they're champion. They've been here, done that.
Yeah.
They know what it's like. Yes. Experience. Yes. Yes. So with that being said, the Lakers head home down 0-2, looking to regroup. You get a couple of days of rest. You're in your own bed. you go back, watch the film. Mm-hmm. Look at what you did good. Look at what you did bad. And try to regroup, but it's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Knicks beat the Sixers 104-101. The Knicks in the last 30 seconds, they were down five. Jalen Brunson hits a three. Josh Hart steals. DiVincenzo three. Mm-hmm. That Nova connection. All three of these guys went to Villanova. All three of these guys won a national championship. And they pull it out. You could easily make a case that this game, the Sixers probably could have been up 2-0, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but they find themselves down 2-0-2, and they should have been up 2-0. Mm-hmm. And look, tonight, Tyrese Maxey, 35 Ooh. Points. Joel Embiid, 34 points. But the rest of the Sixers starters, they didn't do too well, Ocho. Nah. They had 32 points. So basically, Maxey and Maxey outscored the rest of the starters by himself, and so did Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, two against five. Basically, it's damn near two against five. Maxey came out. He had an illness. He missed shoot around. Still came out to the fray. He had the first 9 points of the game, 20 points in the first half, which is a career high for him. Hell, for the night, he shot, 12 or 22 from the field?
Yep.
And obviously ended with 35, 8, and 10. I mean, Embiid, what more can you ask from him? What percentage do you think Embiid playing at? What, 70, 70, 75? 50.
50-60. He got no lift.
Right.
Yeah. He got no lift. I mean, they did a better job of keeping him off the glass. I mean,
right.
They lost the rebounding battle by 22 in the first game. They only lost it by two. Mm-hmm. They only lost the offensive rebounding by two. So they did a better job. Outshot him from the field. Mm-hmm. Outshot him from the 3-point line. The Knicks outshot them from the field. I mean, from the free throw line. Turnovers weren't that bad. I mean, the Sixers had 10. The Knicks had 7. But, see, a lot of times you're like, well, the rebounding, you know, they did a better job rebounding. Mm-hmm. But when did those offensive rebounds occur? Mm-hmm. The last two possessions, when they got 3-4 cracks at you.
Yep.
Kyle Lowry, you're a vet. You got to call timeout in that situation.
Right.
just call timeout. He panics, try to get it in quick. He doesn't get it in quick. He throws him into the trap. They trap him. They get the ball. Ball swings around. DiVincenzo, boom.
Three.
The roof comes off the garden. And now what you're like, you're 30 seconds away from going home, being 1-1. And you walk out the building, you're down 0-2.
Well, hell,
I just don't know.
I mean, the fact that you talk about, well, the coach is responsible for that timeout during that situation, right?
Nick Nurse said he called timeout.
Second time. It's the second time there's been a coaching blunder with Mr. Nurse?
Mm-hmm. Nick Nurse, yeah.
Yeah, it's the second time there's been a questionable game in his strategy that he didn't really fulfill that might have cost him the game, which is why they're down 0-2 now.
Kyle Lowry is a fifth. How long has Kyle Lowry been in the league? 15 years, 16 years, 17 years? He has the ball in his hand. They have a timeout. You can run the bank. You can run the line. Call timeout. He's supposed to be an extension of the coach. That's what everybody tells you with Kyle Lowry. He's an extension of the coach.
Right.
He's a leader. So 33 years, so 19. So 18. He's been in the league 18 years.
Yeah, you got to be careful, though. You got to be careful in that situation, calling a timeout, not knowing.
You're supposed to know. He's supposed. Ocho, no. You're supposed to know that. It's just like you. You're supposed to know. We ain't got no timeouts. I need to get out of bounds.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, we got a timeout. Everything's in play. The middle of the field. Okay. We trying to save our timeout. Mm-hmm. If all costs, get out of bounds. Right. We don't need that extra yards and get trapped in bounds. We have to burn a timeout. Take less yards, get out of bounds. Kyle Lowry has to know in that situation, have a timeout and we use the timeout and we get an opportunity to advance the ball.
Right.
He's got to know that.
That's tough.
Jalen Brunson in game one was 8 of 26. In game two, he was 8 of 29. OG Anunoby, 10 points. Hardenstein had 14 points, but four offensive rebounds. A huge block, a very huge block. Brunson had 24 points, but on 29 shots. Yeah. Josh Hart, another monster night. 21 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. DiVincenzo, 19 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds. And no shot bigger than, that might be one of the biggest shots in Nick's history, is the shot that he hit.
Yeah. That's a good one. Jalen, matter of fact, you know what's funny? Is great shot by Jalen Brunson towards the end of the game, but he's shooting 12-55 from the field. But he gets to the line, 12 from the line. He's 12-15 from the free throw line through these two games. He's great on defense. And I think that's why people are ignoring, you know, the poor shooting so far in the first two games.
No, they're ignoring the poor shooting because they're winning.
Ah. Winning cures all. So if they were losing, it would be an issue.
He'd be getting crushed.
Right.
He'd be getting crushed. But that's how it goes. You understand that. We know that.
Oh, yeah. When you're losing, it magnifies everything. When you win, it's a lot of shit you can sweep under the rug.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. So the two home teams probably should have lost, but it just shows you their grit because they're good. They find ways to win. The Nuggets found a way to win. The Knicks found a way to win. And they go on the road.
And you know, now that I think about it, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking before Brunson came to the Knicks, he was with Dallas. Dude, I mean, man, I don't know. You would know better than I do. Would Mark Cuban feel some type of way in knowing he could have Brunson, Kyrie, and Luka, and things would have been a little easier over there, or no?
No, you were able to get Kyrie because you didn't sign Brunson. You could have signed Brunson to an extension.
Right.
I think you could have gave him 3 years for 55.
Right.
They waited till after the season. He played so well in Luka's absence. Now he's not going to take a deal. So now he knows if he hits the market, he's going to get a mega deal.
Okay. Okay. So he wouldn't have been there regardless. No matter what.
No. Somebody was going to pay him more than what Dallas. Now when Dallas realized, he's like, nah, I'm good. Because when you had a chance to sign me.
Right. You didn't want to.
For 3 for $55.
Right.
You didn't. He goes to the Knicks. I think he got 5 for $100. Mm. So, and he needed the ball. He needed his own team. That's Luka's team.
Oh, I see what you mean.
That's Luka's team.
Wait a minute. As the point guard, actually, that's your team as a point guard because the ball is on your hand majority of the time, always. You are the facilitator. You are the leader.
That's Luka's team. You. The Mavericks is Luka Doncic's team. I don't care who else you bring on that team. It's his team. What position you think Luka play? PG, he's the point guard. And he just led the league in scoring. That's his team. Brunson needed his own team. He couldn't be what he is now. There, you have to understand that Bi couldn't be what he did. What Brandon Ingram is in with the Pelicans.
Right.
He couldn't be that in LA. LeBron and AD. He needs the ball. Sometimes it's okay to let a guy go and flourish elsewhere. Yeah, you miss like, man, what we could, but you're not going to be that with LeBron and AD.
Well, help me explain something to me real quick. I know we off track. We talk about the Knicks and the 76ers. Well, how the hell does Luka and goddamn Kyrie work? When I picture Kyrie, I'm thinking of someone that always needs the ball in their hands, though.
So how Kyrie is tremendous at playing without the ball. Brunson needs the ball. But still, although Kyrie is unbelievable, because guess what? Kyrie played with LeBron, so he understands how to play off the ball.
Okay. I got you.
But no, he's had an unbelievable season. He's going to be an all-NBA player. Please make sure you hit that like button. Please make sure you hit the subscribe button. And please make sure you guys go subscribe to the Nightcap podcast feed. You can listen to us through the Club Shay Shay feed, but we would greatly appreciate it if you listen and signed up, subscribe to the Nightcap feed. Thank you guys for selling out Shea by LaPortier. We pinned the link at the top of the chat. We're only taking pre-orders, and we thank you. We kindly thank you for your patience. The two home teams, whole serve.
Yeah.
Games they could have probably should have lost, but the metal, the grit, what caused them to be where they are, they found ways to win the ball game. And they were able to hold on and they won. So the Nuggets win by 2 and the Knicks win by 3. Going home down 0-2. Now it's time for our first segment of the night, Ocho.
Wait. Before we do the segment. Oh, it's too late. I want you to see my sweater, right? And I know you're going to want one. And I ain't giving you one. And I ain't gonna tell you where I got it from. And I bet you can't name everybody on here.
Oh, HBCUs.
Hold on, look at the players though.
I see number 2. That's all I need to see down there in the bottom right. I see number 2. I'm good, cuz. I see Walter Payton. I think Jerry Rice.
Steve McNair.
Yeah, Air McNair. I don't know who 13 is. Charlie Joyner. Satellite Totten. I mean, I think number 22 was Satellite Totten. I think he was a.
Yeah. You don't know, but yeah.
I would
send you one, but I ain't going to send it. They sent this for you, but I kept it.
That's dirty. Who did? Chad? Oh. The Athletic released this an annual anonymous players poll. The Athletic interviewed 142 players. The league's most overrated player, receiving almost 14% of the votes,
right,
was Rudy Gobert. In second place, receiving almost 9% of the votes, Jordan Poole. And receiving almost, well, he received 7% of the votes, Trae Young.
Hey, man, do you really think Rudy Gobert is overrated? Or is he good at what he does and what he's supposed to do? Or are people still upset about him crying about not winning, make an all-star team?
If you're a wide receiver,
yeah,
and you're supposed to be one of the top wide receivers,
yeah, that's me.
But in two-minute drill, they took you out.
I think, well, for him, they take him out because he's a liability on offense, right?
He overrated. See, there you go. See, he's supposed to be a defensive guy.
Yeah, he's a defensive guy.
How you take him out if he overrated, if he liability?
But he's a liability because he can't score offensively. I think that was the only reason he comes out the game, right?
I'm trying to figure out how the guy that makes max money becomes a liability when that's his thing. He's supposed to be on, well, guess what? That's only one end of the court. Don't you want to keep him in there for defensive purposes?
You're right. I mean, listen, I don't know. And now Jordan Poole. Now the Jordan Poole discussion, he was great, if I'm not mistaken. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. From what I've seen in the times I've watched him play, especially when he was with the Warriors, he was magnificent. He was magnificent.
Right.
And then he went to Washington. I'm thinking, okay, he's going to pick up where he left off, and he's going to show the people and show the world on why he is worth the money that he gotten paid and why he can carry a team himself.
Right.
And I don't think things turned out the way he felt they would, or obviously me from the outside looking in, things haven't gone well for him.
No.
So I can kind of see why he would get 8% of, I mean, obviously one of the most overrated players because they hadn't played well. The Trae Young slander, I have no idea.
Yeah. Dude averaged 26 and 11. I mean, the guy averaged double-digit assists. He gives you 20 points.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I just don't know what else they want from the dude.
Hey, I have a quick. Do you really think they asked that many players and players?
Well,
really?
There are 400 NBA players in the league. So 450. What, they're 15 players a team? Let's just say 400.
Right. You really think they interviewed all them dudes and them dudes really said what they said? Like,
I mean, they only interviewed a third. It's just like the NFL. Okay, we got 1,500 players. They interview 500.
Right. I always wonder I'm always skeptical about these stuff where they say, we interview players and it comes from a source. Man, I played for a very long time. Nobody ever asked me anything about anybody. Mm-hmm. Never. I never heard any conversation amongst the other 52 players in the locker room. But man, you know what? They asked me about so-and-so and there was a survey that I did. So I was always a little skeptical about these interviews.
You do understand what the term anonymous mean, right?
Well, if you tell somebody it's no longer anonymous. That's what they try to get you with. They try to hit you with anonymous, or they always try to say a source instead of it's really coming from somewhere else. It's really coming from inside the house. That's why they always say a source.
Yes. But it has to be anonymous to keep confusion down.
Nah, I don't know. You know what? People need to stand on business. We're in 2024. If you have something to say about somebody, say it to their face or let them know. Or make it public. Let it be known. Why hide behind the media? Don't hide behind the media. You don't like somebody? Shit, let them know. Hey, man, listen, so-and-so, I really don't like you. I don't like your game. Look at your face. Your face is punchable. If you don't, I mean, just say it. Just say it. I hate when they do that, run behind the media, and they confide in this media, a certain individual, a certain person, and give them a storyline and say, well, make sure you make it anonymous. If you don't like somebody, just come out and tell them, man.
I think in this situation that, you know, they don't want, because look, if somebody on your team, you're going to feel some type of way if your teammates, the guys you go to battle with,
right,
saying somebody else better than Ocho. You're going to feel some type of way.
You know what's funny? Anytime these people that are always anonymous and the source, you know what happens? If they say somebody's overrated, normally the person that they call overrated, you're better than. The person doing the talking that doesn't want to be disclosed normally isn't better than the person they feel is overrated.
Right.
Most of the time.
Well, I figure it's hard for me to believe that they're only asking like C-level players. I'm sure, look, when you have an anonymity,
right,
or people don't think you're going to find out.
Right.
It's just like when you in your house and you in rail and everybody else, and they don't think anybody, what happens when your girlfriend or boyfriend get mad? Yeah, that's why you did such and such. And that's why you say blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it. That's how it is. Once you have in the enclosure of your own home,
right,
people will speak freely, and especially if I don't think nobody's gonna find out. So if I keep it anonymous, yeah, man, that joke will suck. That's how it is. Who in the league would you least like to fight? James Johnson was the overwhelming winner. He's a fourth or fifth degree black belt. His entire family's a black belt. Steven Adams with 17%, Isaiah Stewart with 6%.
Hey, James Johnson played for the Heat?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He a black belt?
Many times over.
I beat his ass, man. I ain't trying to hit. I ain't caring about no goddamn black belt. That black belt don't mean nothing in the streets.
No, James, boy, man. Hey, he that type of dude that he don't look, but you look at him, he got tats all on his neck.
All around his neck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got 43 tattoos too. What mm-hmm. that mean?
Man, you have 43 ass cuttings too.
Hey, James, I know you're going to see me. Well, I love you, baby. I'm just playing. I don't want no smoke.
Who's the greatest player of all time? With a whopping 46% of the vote, Michael Jordan was first.
Yeah.
With 42% of the vote, LeBron James was second.
Mm-hmm.
Third, with 10% of the vote,
Kobe
being Bryant.
Yeah.
In fourth place was Paul Pierce, Steph Curry, and Magic Johnson.
They slid Paul in there, huh? They slid Paul in there.
They got that man over Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Bird, Olajuwon, Shaq.
Hey, man, listen, that somebody knows somebody. Somebody knows somebody. Paul done paid somebody to slide him up in there real quick. Paul Pierce had the name to choose for a reason, though.
Right.
He had the name to choose for a reason, but at number four, greatest player of all time, there are so many others that are worthy. No disrespect to him, though.
But here's the thing. Jordan has experienced some serious slippage for the third consecutive poll. Jordan in 2019 has 73%.
Right.
LeBron had 11.9, mm-hmm. nearly doubling.
Yeah.
Oh, he was tripling. And it was, and what, in 2023, it was 58-33.
Yeah.
Not a gap. It's only less than 4%.
Yeah, but you have to understand, mm-hmm. Jordan hadn't played basketball in how long?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his aura, the mystique, the legendary, the king, excuse me, LeBron is the king, but who he is, his reign supreme for so many years, long after he's done playing.
Guess what?
So obviously the gap is going to continue to decrease because LeBron is still active. LeBron is still active. And most of the people doing the voting, some of them that love and enjoy the game of basketball might not even seen Jordan play. Some of the young kids, some of the young folk. So they don't understand his greatness because they weren't here to see it.
It doesn't matter. I mean, they know Jordan. I mean, he's one of the most recognizable people on the face of the planet.
Easily.
Those shoes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's what player, like the last 14 months, he broke Kareem's all-time scoring record. He led mm-hmm. the Lakers to the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
He won the inaugural in-season tournament, named to his 20th straight All-Star game as a starter. Mm-hmm. One of three players to average 25, 8 assists and 7 rebounds this season. Luka and Jokic. No other player in the history of the game has done it after year 10.
Right. It's crazy.
Yeah. Which current coach, aside from your own, would you least want to play for? Tom Thibodeau with 47% of the vote. Doc Rivers with 9% of the vote. Monty Williams with 7% of the vote. Darvin Ham. Man, how they put all the brothers on there? God dang, old choke.
Tom Thibodeau, no, a brother?
But they got Doc, Monty, and Darvin. Yeah, Three of the four brothers. 75% of the brothers.
I like Tom Thibodeau. I don't know why he reminds me of like somebody that was supposed to be on The Sopranos or something. Like he's part of The Godfather. But I don't know. When you listen to him talk, he sounds like he's part of the Italian mafia or something like that. Obviously, Monty Williams, Darvin Ham, and Doc Rivers. I thought Doc was a good coach. Obviously, again, I'm on the outside looking in. For some reason, Doc always has a damn job somewhere.
He does.
From the 76ers to the Bucks. Where was he at before that? 76ers.
Oh, he was the Clippers.
Clippers.
No, let me take that back. He was with the 76ers. And then he was with the Clippers.
Clippers, right.
He was with the Celtics. Mm-hmm. He was with the Magic.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, he continues to keep getting a job. He can get a job for some godforsaken reason. Either the players are going to bat for him and want him as a coach, or he's just good with the personnel, or the NBA coaches, for that matter. So I'm not sure why he's on the list.
Yeah. You're building a roster from scratch. Who are you going with to sign first? With 28% of the votes, Victor Wembanyama was first.
Ah.
Nikola Jokic, with 27% of the vote, was second. Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, with 10% of the vote, was third.
I should have, you know, I never told you that story. And you probably ain't gonna believe me. Remember when Ann was, yeah, I know. I'm being serious, but when Ann was at Georgia, I went down to visit Cam, and Cam Newton was telling me about Anthony Edwards, this young fella that plays basketball at Georgia, whatever. I'm gonna go down to watch him practice. And we went down to watch Anthony Edwards practice. And you know how I am when it comes to competing. You know, I feel I can do any and everything. So I'm like, man, boy, you're nice. You know, I introduced myself. Hey, I'm Ocho. And boy, you got game. You're going to be special. And I asked to play him one-on-one. And we played one-on-one. We went to 21. And that was pretty much it. And from that point on, I understood what people are seeing now today. Anthony Edwards in the NBA, I witnessed that while he was in college. Obviously, people that enjoyed the game of college basketball, they saw him, saw him play. But I didn't have no idea, you know, who he was. And I didn't know he was that special until I was able to see him and beat him one-on-one while he was at Georgia. But, yeah, I just wanted to share that.
I appreciate that. The New York Jets trade former number 2 overall pick,
Zach Wilson, baby.
To the Denver Broncos. Country,
let's ride.
Zach the Jets Wilson, will receive baby. A 2024 sixth round pick, and the Broncos will receive a 7th round pick in addition to Wilson. The Jets and the Broncos will split the $5.5 million Wilson is owed in 2024.
Yeah. And you know what? Put some respect on Zach Wilson's name this season. I'm warning you. I'm warning you now. He's playing for your team. You had all that stuff to say about Zach Wilson when he was in New York. You had all that stuff to say. Mm-hmm. And one thing about quarterbacks, one thing about just people in general, sometimes the change of scenery is all you need. Ladies that are in the chat, think about that toxic relationship you're in. And all of a sudden you got out that toxic relationship. You cut your hair, you change your hair color, and you found a new man. And all of a sudden, oh my goodness, life is great again. Zach Wilson is going to show you, and he's going to start. He's going to start for the Denver Broncos in 2024 with Sean Payton at the helm, and Sean Payton being the quarterback whisperer that he is. We're going to see a resurgence.
Other than Drew Brees, who did he whisper?
Excuse me. Let me finish. Okay. Let me finish. Zach Wilson is going to be Drew Brees 2.0. Under Sean Payton. Remember, I told you this first. Denver fans, you got your good one on your hands. Zach Wilson is going to show you why he was the number 2 pick or number 1?
Number 2.
He's going to show you why he was the number 2 pick in the draft. I'm telling you right now. Well, I'm telling you right now. Zach Wilson, bitch.
Help me understand this. Sean Payton, other than Drew Brees, who has he whispered?
Who has he whispered?
Yep.
If they had been a little bit more patient, see, this it's in the Bible. If you'd been a little bit more patient with the relationship between Russell Wilson and Sean Payton and allowed them a little bit more time to work their chemistry together, he would have been the quarterback whisperer for Russell Wilson as well. But they were
why didn't he do it when Drew Brees retired? Why didn't he do it when Drew Brees left?
I mean, they won a Super Bowl together, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's a good whisper. That's a very good whisper.
Hold on. Did you hear what I said? Is there a faulty connection?
Right.
Outside of Drew Brees, who did he whisper?
Well, there haven't been many other opportunities for him to whisper in anybody else's ear because he left coaching, came back to Denver 1 year, and then boom, they parted ways.
It's not an accident that he left when Drew Brees left. It's not an accident.
Oh, because he understands the difficulties. Finding another quarterback.
But he whispered. No, you can't do that. You said he's the quarterback whisperer.
Wait a minute. Come on now. Don't do me like that. You understand how difficult it is to find an adequate quarterback to build around to continue to keep a franchise going. It ain't Drew Brees is just walking through the goddamn door like that.
You think Zach Wilson is it?
Yeah. What you talking about? Man, stop talking about Zach like that.
If he was it, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be with the Jets.
No. Let's not do that. The Jets. When is the last time they just had a great, outstanding quarterback?
That's besides they drafted him to be there.
Wait, let me finish. The Jets have failed their quarterbacks for many and many and many years living off of great defenses when Rex Ryan was there. And that's no disrespect to any of the quarterbacks that have been through there, because I understand that you only as good as your supporting cast and those they put around you. It's not their fault. It's not the players that have come through there. Every year, we always say the same thing. The Jets don't have a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have. They continue to get quarterback after quarterback after quarterback after quarterback after quarterback. At what point are we going to fault the goddamn organization? At what point?
True.
At what point? And stop blaming the goddamn quarterbacks.
Because the organization keep picking the wrong player. That's what it is. Two things can be true. They pick the wrong player and the quarterback is some garbage. Okay.
No, that's not it.
And you know, look, man, everybody knows you can't convince no one except Zach Wilson's family and yourself that Zach Wilson is a good quarterback.
He is a good quarterback. He just went into an unfortunate situation and had unfortunate circumstances that he had to deal with. And on the fact of going to the goddamn New York media that doesn't appreciate any goddamn thing, and they can kill you. Can you imagine going from BYU and then having to do with the New York media when things aren't going well? Oh my goodness! If you're not built mentally tough and being
that lets you know he can't play quarterback. Then he can't play quarterback, because what does quarterbacks need to be? No, mentally regardless tough. Of the market.
Hey, mentally tough. Mentally
okay,
tough.
Okay, then. Whoa. Thank you very
Listen,
much.
That New York media is a whole different ball game. It's a whole
How
different ball
game.
Did
it bring Eli down?
Any other
How
city?
Did it do Eli?
Huh?
How did it do Eli Manning?
What do you mean, how did it do Eli Manning? Did you see the team? Did you see the teams that Eli Manning was surrounded by? Did you see the offense, the players? Did you see the defense that Eli? Don't do that. We're not. Are we really comparing? Are we really comparing the apples and oranges here? And what Eli Manning had to work with as a quarterback in New York? And the Giants organization that understood what it took to win and building the pieces and putting the pieces around the quarterback so he can be efficient? Are we comparing the Giants organization to the Jets? Let's not do that.
I'm not comparing the quarterbacks either. I'm just saying from a mental standpoint.
Right.
You said it's about mental toughness.
Okay, yeah. I got you. It just makes it even worse that the New York media can attack the Jets organizations or the people in places in positions of power, and it doesn't affect them at all. And it just trickles down. Okay, you know what? We're going to attack the quarterback. We're going to attack the quarterback, and we're going to blame everything on him when most of it is out of his control.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes,
when things
sir.
Go right, who get all the credit? Name the time that when things go right, the wide receiver gets the credit, or the running back gets the credit, or the O-line gets the credit. Mm-hmm. Who gets the credit? Ain't nobody bitching Mecole Hardman's game-winning catch. What are they talking about, Ocho? Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
They talk about Brady.
Yeah.
Somebody had to make that catch. Somebody had to make them blocks.
Okay. But so I just have a question for you. Do you think the fit is good? The change of scenery for Zach Wilson is good with Sean Payton? How do you feel about that?
No, I don't.
What do you mean you don't, man?
I don't.
Okay. You got Jared
all I
Stidham,
know, all,
you got Jared Stidham, you got Ben DiNucci, and you have Zach Wilson. I like Zach. I think Zach Wilson is going to beat Jared Stidham out for the starting job. I know that's going to happen. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you before it even happens, because I know Zach Wilson. I know what he can do. There's no offense to Jared Stidham and what he's done so far in the NFL. So you don't think it's a good pick? I know it's
I don't think Zach Wilson, I don't think Stidham, I don't think Ben DiNucci, I don't think any of them's good.
Well, what?
I don't.
Well, Zach Wilson's going to show you. What do you think the Broncos do with the 12th pick?
I haven't.
I mean, they've answered the quarterback position. I say they go with another wide receiver.
What do you mean answer the quarterback position?
They got Zach Wilson now.
Man, please.
Listen, this is a very, very deep wide receiver class. Jerry Jeudy's gone. Jerry Jeudy's now in Cleveland. What do you think about them answering? What do you think? No?
I don't like taking skill position when the quarterback situation is unfluxed.
Unfluxed. I just told you they got Zach. What are you talking about? I just said that. Zach Wilson, Sean Payton.
Bro,
you don't understand the magic that is about to happen in Denver.
I'm waiting on Sean Payton to do something, just like y'all waited on Coach Belichick to do something without Tom Brady. I'm waiting on Sean Payton to do something without Drew Brees.
Well, you know what? You finna see it. You finna see it this year. I guarantee you that. Matter of fact, I'm a Broncos fan now. I'm a Broncos fan, and I'm a fan of all players. I'm a fan of all teams. But I mean, I'm a fan. Like, I'm a Bengal fan. You know, I'm a Bengal. I got Bengal tattooed on my back. I'm from Miami. You know, I'm a Dolphins fan. And the third team now, I'm a Broncos fan. Come hell or high water. Broncos okay. country. Let's ride.
Take Zach Pittick. Wilson.
Let's go, Zach. I know you're going to see this. I love you, baby. We're going to get it done.
Maybe they can get Pennix Jr. or Bo Nix.
Pennix Jr. is not going to be there at 12. Pennix Jr. is not going to be there at 12. I can tell you that right now.
He might be.
Shit. No, sir. No, sir. Oh, I'm feeling good tonight. Woo! What we got next? Let's go, Zach.
LeBron goes off on the refs. I don't understand what's going on with the replay, to be honest. D'Lo clearly gets hits in the face with the drive. What the F do we have to have a replay center if it's going to be like that? It doesn't make sense. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. And then I just saw what happened in the sixth game. Like, what are we doing? It's effing stupid. Mm. Anthony Davis has stretches where we don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor.
Ah, listen, officiating has been an issue, not in just the Lakers-Nuggets game, but also officiating has been an issue in the 76ers game as well, where, if I'm not mistaken, I saw that they were going to complain. They were going to complain
and file a grievance.
Mm. Like, eh. Does that work? Does that even work?
They're not going to play the game over. They're not going to give you a victory. So right. You just wasted your time. They're going to deny the protest.
Right.
And the Sixers are going to be up 2-0. The Lakers file a protest, and it doesn't matter. This Nuggets going to be up 2-0. So right. It's just a waste of time. It's posturing, because what you're trying to do is that you're trying to get the officials on your side.
Right,
and so hopefully you can get some home cooking in yours. But right. It shouldn't even come down to this. It should not even come down to the officials. And remember, I told you, Ocho.
Yes, sir.
You don't put yourself in the situation so a bad call or you needing a call
right.
helps you win the ball game. You right. shouldn't even been in this position. You were up 20. Mm. You were up 9 with like 5 minutes to go.
Right.
You had a 3-point lead and had a chance to get a loose ball. So, nah, I don't even if it was true. And I thought it was a situation that D'Lo did get hit. But that's neither here nor there. You shouldn't put yourself in that situation
so that him getting hit wouldn't even matter.
Right.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyreek Hill went on the podcast Million Dollar Worth of Game and had a lot to say. First, he told Gillian Wallow he would put up 175 yards and 2 touchdowns on prime Deion Sanders. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
Talk your shit, Reek.
I'm putting 175 on Deion.
Prime.
Currently top prime.
Let me see if I can get him on the phone.
Prime was a GOAT, though. But you got to understand, though, they played a lot of man-to-man back in the day.
Yeah.
You feel me? And, like, I feel like generations has changed and receivers has changed. And we got so much stuff. And our generation know so many, like, crazy movements, and we know all this crazy.
You know,
stuff
Prime used to shut a whole half of a field down.
Yeah.
A whole field down.
But he was going against like who?
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice, like how tall though?
6'2".
And I'm what?
5'9".
5'9", 197. I'm quicker.
He said 175.
On Prime.
Two tubs too, don't forget about that.
Oh, it is two tubs on Prime.
Easy.
175, two tubs. Yeah. You hear this?
Get what?
I'm so disrespectful with it. While I'm scoring, I'm doing it. I'm doing his shit in the end zone. I'm doing his shit in the end zone with it. Then I'm going to point to him like that and say, you like that, don't you? You like that.
I like it. Yeah. You see that confidence? Mm-hmm. I know people in the chat, I know you watching that. And Tyreek really believes that. That's what we all have to do. You all have to have that belief. And listen, the mind is a powerful thing. Most of the time, when you want to execute something, you visualize it in your head. You visualize it upstairs, and then you go out and try to do it. Obviously, hypothetically speaking, Tyreek is fast as hell. Mm-hmm. Deion Sanders in his prime, curly prime he talked about, was fast as hell as well. So I don't think it would have been anything as far as going deep, crossing routes, over routes, intermediate stuff. You know, I think it's possible he could have a game where you have 175. Now, you ain't just going to fly by prime and think you're going to outrun him when he just is fast.
I tell you what, you better not throw no outs.
Oh, no. Listen, and if you do throw it out, you better throw it towards out of bounds. If you leave it behind, it's going the other way. And then you got to understand prime is also exceptional in bump and run.
Oh, yeah.
He's exceptional in bump and run. But again, you got to understand.
You're going to have that wide base.
Yeah.
You don't get that wide.
That means you got to go all the way around that. And the funny thing
is, you run the loop.
Exactly. And he can run with you. So he'll cut that off. But again, Tyreek is special in his own route, in his own way. I understand what he's saying about the 175 because he understands what you can and can't do, but he's never seen a DB of that magnitude. He's never seen a DB. There's nothing like that in today's game.
Check this out. Then he said Mike McDaniel called him out after the playoffs loss to the Chiefs. Right. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
A lot of guys aren't used to that. A lot of guys aren't used to sitting inside of a meeting room, being the best player on their team their whole entire life, and then a coach saying, bro, you suck this play,
bro. You ever had somebody say that to you?
Oh, yeah, like this year, Miami Dolphins. You know what I'm saying? The player gets sneed. The Chiefs, everybody see this player against the Chiefs? My motherfucker coming to the floor. He called me out. He like, Reek, bro, you supposed to be the best player in the league, and you got this guy putting hands all over you like that.
Yeah.
We pay you all this money for what? Mm-hmm. And for me, I love that because I'm going to take that to heart, and I'm gonna get better from it. That'll never happen again to me in my life, man. Yeah. You feel me? If a motherfucker not hold me accountable, I feel like I'm not going to be able to get better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The other guys in the locker room, they're going to look at it as, oh, if Reek can do it, I can do it. And that's not getting the team better. I need everybody to get better, bro. You know what I'm saying? Baby brother Waddle, I got him up under my wing trying to teach him. I'm like, bro.
He adult.
I want everybody to get paid, bro.
He adult.
Everybody deserve it, bro.
I like that. That's loud. Hey,
but see, here's the thing.
That ate at him. And it's even worse today because you got social media. You got to deal with social media and being all over social media. But obviously, you know, you got to be very strong. You got to be very strong as a player mentally for one to have a coach to be able to call you out in front of everybody because y'all have an understanding. Hell, I saw the same thing when I first got to New England where I'm like, wait a minute. This is the first day and they had just lost the previous season. They lost to Rex Ryan and the Jets in the playoffs. And Bill Belichick used the first meeting to grill Tom Brady and putting up plays. This is why we're home. And this is what we're not going to do this year. And he got into Tom Brady in the meeting. I'm like, wait a minute. If I'm not mistaken, you never talk to your quarterback. You never chastise your quarterback in front of a team. And that's the first thing they did. And that's the first time I ever saw it. And from that point on, I understood, okay, this is the Patriot way. And everybody is held accountable. And everyone is expendable here. And I understood that. But what we could talk about, I totally get in that moment at Adam. I'd never forget. A quick story real quick. I had a bad game. I think we played the Buffalo Bills. I had a very bad game. And I had a bad game. It was so bad. I remember Coach Lewis calling me out. Obviously, I had some of my teammates, TJ, who stayed on top of me when I didn't play well. Stayed on top of me when I didn't play well. And I felt so bad after having that bad game. I think it was against the Bills. We played the Bills. We played up there in Buffalo. And I remember going to my offensive coordinator. I never forget this. Bob Rutkowski. I played so bad. My check. I felt I didn't earn my game check that week. So I took a $100,000 check. I never forget. And there's some people that might be able to attest to this. You might be able to find it still on Twitter to this point. I took a $100,000 check to Bob Rutkowski, who was my offensive coordinator at the time. And I said, I'm giving you this $100,000 check because I didn't earn my paycheck last week with that kind of performance. If I don't play up to par this week, I want you to keep the check. So I wrote him a $100,000 check. It had Bob Rutkowski signed at the bottom. And he knew I wasn't playing. I wasn't joking. And I went out that following week. I don't know if we played the Ravens. I'm not sure who it was we played. But, Unc, man, I went the you-know-what off. I went off. I went slap-ass off. I'd never forget that. But wow. Somebody has to be able to find that story or that tweet where I left Bob Rutkowski that $100,000 check because I played so poorly in that previous game. And the following week, I just went off. And from that point on, I caught fire throughout the rest of the season. It was consistent. But that one game that ate at me real bad, especially having Marvin call me out and then having to hear my teammates making fun of me as well. Ugh, that's a nasty feeling.
Yeah, it's tough. But Reek, hey man, look, somebody gonna get you again with that quick jam.
But ain't nobody else out there. There are no other people. There's no Legarius Sneed. There are no other ones. Or actually the defense that they play. Two-man that allows you to be aggressive like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also
because he looking to jump in your hip pocket anyway. So if he missed you with the initial jump,
he's just gonna ride you.
Jump in your hip pocket.
He's just gonna ride you. Yeah. But you gotta understand, not too many DBs out there have the leeway or the skill set or the quick twitch fibers to want to get up there and pull that shit anyway. Because if you miss, now you put stress on your safety.
Guys practiced it.
Right.
I mean, you think a guy he's up there. Then all of a sudden he get ready to open up
and come back in.
Bam!
Wait, listen, you know who was the best at that, huh? Who caught me around in the middle of my neck when I was a young pup? That goddamn Dale Carter, man.
Oh, DC, yeah, DC.
Lord, he caught me so clean. And I thought he was getting ready to bail. Man, he came back so smooth. You know, he was real long. Yeah. Now he was lengthy. Excuse me. Man, that arm caught me and I couldn't move. And you know, this back then, they could touch you at the line of scrimmage back then.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I was stuck at the line of scrimmage. Man, his hand all up under my neck.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, ref, what we doing?
Man, Ocho, if you dance at the line, like when I first got in the league, like in the 90s, if you dance at the line, they coming up through that. Hey, now you try to adjust your helmet and it came up through your chin. Hey, your helmet, like.
Yeah. Oh, them were some good days.
Man. Oh, yeah. They don't let you play like that now.
No.
Because now if you touch a guy's face mask, you know, they're going to throw the
flag penalty. The flag coming right away.
Knock your helmet cleaned off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ralph, you think I came out here with my helmet sitting up on top of my head like this? So how you think it got like this?
Right.
Jersey hanging out over my shoulder pad. Mm-hmm. I said, you think I walked out here? So when I came out on the field, this is how my jersey was. Huh?
Right.
Come on, Ralph.
Good days.
Michael Penix Jr. wrote a powerful letter to the NFL teams, and he said, truth is, I'd be more worried if I had been injured. We don't all come back the same. I know storms. I'm prepared to weather. For most people, that'd be the end of their story. But there's more to my story, and I own every page of it.
Mm.
So I have no problem taking MRIs or x-rays if you ask me. Truth is, It's an EKG that will tell you everything you need to know about me. Come back, heart. Boom, boom.
I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. But listen, mm-hmm. even with that letter, as dope as that is, as awesome as it is, there's something that teams can't measure that he has. You can't measure it. You can't, and that's in here. Mm-hmm. That's in here. The letter is dope. It's awesome. You know, some owners, some teams, you know how they look at your medical records, and it's frowned upon when you have injuries. It's frowned upon. It just is. So it's dope in what he wrote and what he said, but they always hold that against you.
Of course.
Always. Mm-hmm. Always. It's a red flag to them. It's a red flag to them. But again, Michael Penix Jr., what you put up as a player at UW is enough in itself. The resume speaks for itself. So there was no point in even writing a letter, because when you turn on the film, you know what the fuck you get. You know what you get. Now, the one thing you can't help is you can't help the injuries from the past. But again, scouts and teams and owners, they hold all that against you. They always do. But I know what they get. The people that play the game of football that have played in the past, we know what we get with you. And whoever gets you, going to be lucky.
Right.
They're going to be lucky.
He's saying you needed to get the EKG. EKG measures heart.
Yeah.
So that's what you need. That's what you need to measure. Don't worry about the MRIs. Don't worry about what they say. Don't worry about what the x-rays say. Get a picture of that EKG.
Yeah.
And get that readout. Mm-hmm. Alvin Kamara and Raheem Mostert win the catch fishing tournament. The event took place along the Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and featured a total of 14 NFL players split into two pairs. Kamara and Mostert team, Rising Sun, scored 500 points en route to defeating other boats. Kamara reeled in a mahi-mahi for the first catch of the day. Later on, team added total when Kamara, Mostert, and Toby Berthelot hooked three sailfish at once. Hey, we got them boys next year.
Huh?
We got them next year. We going out there on the boat. We going to get them.
You fish?
Huh? Do I?
Listen, I've been in Miami all my life, man. I've been in Miami all my life. I ain't been on the water more than three times. I don't have the patience to fish. So if this is something that we're going to do, I need to start training for that now. I need to start training. I don't have the patience to sit down for hours at a time and wait for something to bite. Now, playing video games, I'm used to that because I'm in control. I'm in busy. But sitting on the boat, maybe I can smoke a cigar. Sure. I can't listen to no music because I can't scare off the fish.
Like, they sitting here, they ain't got no ears.
They don't?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
How you know?
Because I fish.
I mean, just because you fish, I'm sure they can hear you.
Mm-mm.
So why do people talk to plants and plants ain't got no ears?
That's just, you know. I mean, we talk to fish too. Hey, because you catch one and send it back. Hey, go bring your daddy. Tell your daddy to come on.
Hey, Unc, I really think fish can hear you, though. You saw Finding Nemo?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think they talk to each other in the movie?
They were talking. They can't hear, though. They reading lips.
Nah, Unc, I really think, I'm not trying to be funny right now, man. I really think fish, I think dogs understand.
Dogs got ears. Dog can hear. Absolutely, they can hear. That's how they know to come when you call. That's how they hear things. Dogs have very, very good ears.
Right, and I really
that's
think...
That's why dogs, they're either a sight hound or a smell hound.
Smell hound, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little off topic with that. I don't know why I said dogs, but I really think fish, I really think fish have ears. We just don't know about it because it hasn't been scientifically proven. But for some reason, I think
fish Well, if you don't know about it, therefore, it's like the tree falling in the forest. Does it make a sound?
Yeah, because nobody heard it.
Right.
All right. Sound can only I don't know where I was going with this, but we gonna go fishing. I ain't never fished before. I think you know what I want? I want to catch a Goliath grouper.
You got to throw him back.
You can't throw no Goliath grouper back.
Yes, you don't even bring him up out of the water. You bring him to the side, you take a picture of him and you let him go.
Okay, well, we're gonna do that. I'm gonna jump in the water with him, Goliath grouper. I want to catch one like 700-800 pounds though.
You know how long it's going to take you to reel that thing in?
About two, 3 hours. That's what you here for. You the muscle. I want to take the picture. I ain't really nothing in.
Name something you want to do for 2 or 3 hours straight.
Shit, play Call of Duty, play EAFC, FIFA.
I ain't nothing I want to do for 2 or 3 hours straight. Definitely not something strenuous.
Well, hell, what's the point of getting that brush then?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You gotta be careful who you put that on. Put that brush on them.
You see?
You put that brush on them, Ocho, yeah. And put that on a fade in your system. You're trying to do some damage.
Yes,
you're trying to rearrange some engine parts, some parts.
Right.
And I ain't,
reupholster everything.
Nah, Ocho. I mean, like I said, that's what I said. That's why I don't really tell people where they can get the brush from.
Right. Oh, they sent it to me on Twitter. Don't worry about it. I know where to get it from now. Amazon got here next day. So I'm waiting on the next argument.
Drell Michelle, age 39, Jalen Green, age 22, had a cherry-themed celebration for the upcoming delivery of their baby girl. The couple, who shocked social media with their pregnancy news last month,
threw
a baby shower over the weekend. The parents-to-be wore matching red attire in festivities as Michelle posed with a growing baby bump.
That's dope. Congratulations. They got on red. What's happening, blood? All right. But I mean, it's dope. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's exciting for both of them.
The thing is, I'm looking at him. My man seemed extremely excited.
Oh, he hype. You know he hype. You know, you can tell this is to me, for someone young like him, I think he's always had a crush on Drea. So this is something, obviously, when the opportunity presented itself, that he had no shame and no problem doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I finally got my crush. I actually have my baby. I don't care what y'all saying out there. Nah, yeah. Nanny, boo, boo. That kind of feeling. And you can tell
for sure.
His mannerisms, his aura, and his excitement. You know, hell, sometimes dudes get women pregnant and they don't even show up to the baby shower.
Yeah, for sure.
You get text messages. Oh, I don't want it. I'm not sure this is what I really want to do. Man, buddy standing on 10 about that.
Yeah. So
I like it. I like him and Drea. That's dope.
Yep. He happy. I ain't got to buy no Pampers, no baby formula, no pacifier, no stroller.
It don't affect us, huh? No?
Yeah. Hell no. Nah. They always talk about, Shannon, be liking them young girl. They the same age as daughter. Yep, sure, Lord. They hang together. Go out to the club and everything. Hey, I got Kayla to keep an eye on
them. Uh-huh.
Hey, baby, watch it. Yep. You know what I'm saying, Ocho? That's what I be talking about. I don't know what y'all be on. The greatest roast of all time, Tom Brady will be live on Netflix on May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart with an all-star lineup of surprise roasters. Mm-hmm. No Brady rule, no pants, no mercy.
I like it. I just don't.
I love roast.
I love roast. And I've said this many a times. We, or the A-listers, or the one percenters, as you might call them, the Kevin Harts, the Tom Brady's, you know, us that are in that circle, we need to get back to having roast and forget the era and the times that we're in society.
Can't.
And just let it that. See? You see what you just said? You can't.
Nope.
You know what I want to see? That's why when you just said no mercy, everything goes, that's not what it's going to be. It's not going to be the authentic roast that we're used to. I know you've seen it before.
I see roast all the time. Yeah.
Listen, remember the Dean Martin roast? Remember those Dean Martin roasts?
Yeah. Yeah. Carol Burnett, all those.
Red Fox, Carol Burnett. Yep. Red Fox.
Don Rickles. Yep.
Don Rickles. Let me take my glasses off. Don Rickles?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Don Rickles or Joan Rivers was alive today in this era?
Yeah, they couldn't do it. I mean, look, Ocho, we understand that some things have a shelf life.
Right.
And we have to understand that and we have to adjust to the times.
Yeah. It's not going to be a roast. It's not going to be a good roast because there are so many things that you can get people with.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have a little dirty sense of humor now to get the organic, authentic. Okay, this is the real roast. This is the real roast.
No.
Oh my goodness. Hey, chat. If you get a chance at any point, look up Don. Forget Don Rickles. Look up the Dean Martin roast. Matter of fact, look at the Dean Martin roast where they roasted Frank Sinatra. and just listen. Listen to the D-Mark roast where they roasted Sammy Davis Jr. There's a little, you know, racist undertone. Ain't no undertone jokes in there.
Hey, back in then, they said things.
It was so fun. It's so funny. It's so funny, but none of that stuff would fly today.
But yeah. So,
oh my God.
Ain't no sense. Ain't no sense in trying to make it fly. You just accept where we are now.
We are now. Yeah. I understand.
Keep it moving. Ocho, now it's time for Q&A.
Have we got Q&A already?
Yep.
So we finna get off?
Yeah, shortly.
No, we ain't. Time out. You folks, listen, we ended last night's show at 2:30 in the morning, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
3 o'clock. I slept the entirety of the day. I woke up at 4:30 today. I was so excited for today's show. I text you when I woke up and told you I'm hyped and I can't wait. So we need, if we're going to do Q&A, we might as well do Q&A for the next hour.
No, we ain't going to do Q&A for the next hour.
Well, I ain't getting off.
Okay. You hold the chat down. Check this out. Mikey Mike, sorry, Unc, but when the Lakers play the Nuggets in the playoff queue up that Jackson's Heartbreak Hotel. Yeah, it seems like that's what's going on, bro. Mike said, this is Heartbreak. Heartbreak Hotel.
What'd he say?
Michael Jackson, Heartbreak Hotel. You ever heard that song?
No,
this
sir.
This is Heartbreak Hotel.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like that way, Mike. It seems like that. We shooting bad right now. Stramon Jones, why the is Spencer Dinwiddie on the floor?
Oh, that's not nice.
Well, tell me so we both know.
I mean, who else you go? If Dinwiddie not on the floor, who you going to put there?
Well, the same, when he out there, ain't nobody on the floor, so you might as well just go play four.
That's not nice. Again, see, it's missing
point blank layups. Everybody saw it tonight. He missed a point blank layup.
He got pushed.
That man ain't got nothing. Stop it.
Now, see, that's why I come into play. Now, you imagine me. I told you coming off the bench. You know what? Never mind. I ain't going to mention that.
Gabe Vincent. I mean, those two guys got some great cardio in tonight. I mean, they, you know, it's been a long season. They're getting cardio in. That's all they did. Quentin Nas said they got to stop playing Gabe and start playing Max. Bro, I'm not there. I don't know why. But I'm sure they have their reason not playing. Laney Ray. Okay, guys. We ladies in the chat need to know what you think. What is more irresistible for you, for women to wear? A sundress, bodycon, tight-fitted dress, or short shorts? Sundress for me.
I mean, sundress, but you also have to have the curves to make it appealing to the eye. You got to have the curves, having the sundress on, having the body type with the sundress, you know, to catch your attention, for one.
Yeah, I mean, you need to be poking out a little bit in the back.
Something.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be just straight down.
Yeah. And obviously, and the booty shorts as well. We call them here in Miami, Daisy Dukes. I'm not sure how what other people call them in other places. Daisy Dukes is always that's a nice sight. And you know, when I'm with the missus as well, sometimes she'll point it out before I even see it, and she'll tap me, boy. Well, look, they go one right.
Yeah, I mean, short shorts, I mean, they're fine. Now, if you gonna tell me the workout shorts that them girls be having them on in the gym.
Yeah, that's too much.
I don't like that. You lying to me. I don't like it.
You
don't like it?
Listen, they put on, they put on inappropriate wear for an atmosphere that is surrounded by a bunch of men, and then complain about the harassment. Like, let's
I ain't gonna harass them. I just look. I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm getting my workout on.
Yeah, I'm
big day.
It's too much. It's just too much. Ah, but I don't know. That's neither here nor there. But I like the short shorts to look at, you know, when you're out and about, not in the workout environment in the gym.
You know what I like? You know what I like, Ocho?
What?
Them they like those latex pants. You know what I'm talking about, Ocho? Those like they like plastic. Like, they not like, real. They not real.
Like leggings. Leggings?
But then, no, they like yeah, but they like red. I see this and seen a few young ladies have on some red ones, had on black ones, had on green. But I know y'all talking to know what I'm talking about in the chat. They like it's like leather, but it's not leather. It's like a latex.
Yeah, I don't know what those are.
What they call them pants? What y'all call them in the chat?
As soon as I see the picture, I probably know what you talk about. If there's
I know you're gonna know what I'm talking about. But they're just like, woo. Yeah, they almost like plastic.
You talk about
leather, yeah.
Fox leather.
Mm-hmm.
Let me Google this. I want to see what this is. Fox leather. Fox leather pants.
They're leather. Yeah, it's not. It's plastic leather. Cause that's what we used to call them fake gator shoes. We used to call them plastic gators.
Nah, this ain't it.
But man, you know, something like that, you know. You found them?
Nah. Oh, wait. Let me see if this is them.
They real thin.
These?
No, 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 no. Damn, where my phone? Y'all ain't no help. Y'all don't know nothing.
I don't think the chat don't know what you talk about. I don't even
know
what
I'm talking about. It's like, you know, when people like, I can't explain it. When they ask a man one time, they asked him and said, well, what's pornography? He says, I can't explain it, but I know what it is when I see it. Mm. I can't explain these pants, but I know what they are when I see it.
You see it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best definition I could give. Somebody said they call liquid leggings. It does, because it looked like somebody melted them and poured them on them. I mean, because you can see every curve, every contour, right. Everything. Yeah, man. Yeah.
I got to see them. They got are they a solid color or they or it's printed
they're
material?
They normally, like I said, I've only seen like black. I've seen black, red, blue. I've seen the nude color, but Ocho, they like it's almost like they sprayed on.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea.
They call them TikTok pants. I don't know what they call, but whoo, not locked. Ocho, you posed nude to support Peter years ago. Would you pose nude?
I forgot I posed nude, boy. I posed nude years ago, boy. You know, and it was easy for me. You know, I had, and then there's a little controversy because I posed nude for Peter, and then boom, people were getting on me about me using the football to cover. You know, the three inches, and it was like, well, damn, ain't the football pigskin?
Yeah. Yeah,
they got on me heavy, so it was like kind of contradictory.
Yeah, they tell me I couldn't do it, Ocho.
Huh?
That couldn't do it because they say, man, yeah. you got an elephant in the headlock.
hey, what? Hey, matter of fact, I'm so glad somebody bought that Peter. I need to get that Peter.
How did that come about?
Blowed up, huh?
How did that come about?
I can't remember. This was a long time ago, huh? This was a long time ago. I'm talking about this might have been in my prime. I don't even know what year that was. Okay. Hey, somebody in the chat, one of the ladies in the chat, send me that picture of that Peter ad to my Twitter because I ain't seen it in years. So I could get that, I could take that to Kinko's and get that blown up so I could put it in my game room. I don't think Rhea never seen that. When Rhea see that, boy, she might fall back in love.
Fall back in love again?
Yeah, she might fall back in love because she ain't never seen that side of me.
Big Nat, my bro Christian Wood just made drill sergeant at the U.S. Army over in Fort Jackson. Y'all congratulate him from me. Also, there's an NFL team, a randomizer, where you're taking turns picking one quarterback, one running back, two wide receivers, a tight end, a defensive player from any era. New segment. Hey, Chris, congratulations, bro, on making drill sergeant in the U.S. Army. Thank you for all you do to keep this country safe. To everybody, men and women, that protect this country so we sleep, rest easy, at night and during the day. Thank you for your service.
I salute you, homie. Salute.
Adonis Darkworth says, hello from Seattle. It's my 49th birthday today and a blessing to see another year. Love watching you guys. Ocho, if you're ever up here, hit me up and I'll take you to a dope skateboard spot. Happy birthday, Adonis. Happy 49th. 1 year away. Hopefully you get to see the big 5-0. Congrats. Many more to come. Tyler Petrosic says, I'm a 23-year-old guy, feel stuck in my hometown. After moving back from college, any advice from Unc and Ocho?
He moved, but you say he moved back home?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. But it's always good to move back home too, man. Familiar surroundings, your family, your friends. All you got to do is lock in.
Ocho.
Yeah.
Man, what you doing, man?
What?
We found the photo.
You see it? Hey, yeah. Bro, Uncle, I was sexy back then, boy. Matter of fact, back then, the photo, that's when I was a sex symbol. Like, there was a list of top 5 sexiest men in the world. I was top 5. Yeah.
In what world?
Huh?
In what world?
Oh, everywhere, now. Back then, boy, hey, I was, hey, like you be saying, hey, I was hell when I was well, now. Shit.
All right, boy, don't get slapped in the back of the head. Rail still up.
Nah, she sleep.
Rail sleep. Oh, she sleep.
She sleep. She sleep. Yeah, boy. Back then, boy, I was a sex symbol, boy. Shit. Hey, 2 months in the gym, I could be right back looking like that.
My question for you is, Tyler, why did you move back home? Why did you feel the need to go back home? Now, look, there's nothing wrong with home. I just know I didn't want to live in my hometown. It was a great place to visit. Mm-hmm. I could come for a couple of days, see my loved ones. I'm up out of town. The question is, why did you move back? And if you could go somewhere, where would you go? Mm-hmm. And what's stopping you from going? Icky Rod said, Unc, go tight end, go route runner, much love. Y'all have be at any Laker game. Unc, thank you so much for allowing me to meet my hero when you did the cognac. Hey, I'm not going to go to any games. I got to go. I'm headed to Atlanta in a couple of days, so I'm going to miss the game.
You going to Atlanta?
Yeah.
I'm going to meet you there, boy. We going to hit Magic City, boy.
When?
You just said you're going to Atlanta, so let me know
I'm just saying, what there, Friday night, Saturday night?
Oh, it don't matter when. You know, I ain't never been there, so you tell me what day to come. I get me like $200-$300 out of the ATM, but we're going to have a good time.
Hell, they're going to cost $200-$300 to get in the dough.
Who?
Yeah, cover charge.
$200-$300 to get in what though?
The dough Magic.
Oh, my face clean. I ain't paying nothing to get in no dough.
Oh, you ain't getting in.
Oh, shit me. But he gonna let me in there. I pull a fire alarm. Cause won't nobody dance that night. Won't nobody dance that night. They don't let me in Magic City. No, I done heard all this. I done heard all this stuff about the wings and all that.
Oh, the wings fire. Oh, yeah. Hey, the food fire. I don't lie to you. The food like that.
Yeah. Don't let me in. Watch what happened.
Man, ain't nothing like eating food on a dim light.
Yeah.
You know, 1 hour on the plate, 1 hour on something else. You know what I'm saying, Ocho?
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for.
Haley Thompson. At Nightcap, thank you guys for giving me motivation to finish college. I always look forward to watching Unc and Ocho. Ocho, you're my favorite. You're my top favorite NFL players.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for watching us, Haley. We really appreciate the support.
Let's go, Haley. That's how I know your shit. What I'm talking about.
Oh, man, I forgot to bring them purses down tonight, Ocho.
Oh, we can do it on tomorrow's show.
We ain't on tomorrow.
Huh?
Oh, we on Wednesday? Oh, Ocho, you on Wednesday, huh? Oh, Wednesday. We're not on tomorrow.
All right, Wednesday. Bring the thing down Wednesday. I'm gonna bring mine too.
please make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Nightcap. Please make sure you subscribe to the Nightcap podcast feed. You can find us and listen to us through the Club Shay Shay feed, but we would greatly appreciate if you subscribe and listen to the Nightcap podcast feed. Thank you guys for selling out Shay by LaPortier. We pinned the link at the top of the chat. We're taking pre-orders only, and thank you kindly for your patience. The Nuggets beat the Lakers. They come from 20 down to beat the Lakers by 2 on a shot at the buzzer by Jamal Murray. And the Knicks beat the Sixers. They were down by five with 30 seconds left, and they end up winning the game 104 to 101. Jalen Brunson hits a three. Josh Hart steals the ball. DiVincenzo hits a three, and they end up winning the game 104 to 103. So the two home teams, Knicks and Nuggets, take the road up 2-0. So thank you for joining us tonight. I am your favorite unk, Shannon Sharp. He's your favorite number 85, route runner extraordinaire, Bengals Ring of Fame honoree, Pro Bowler, All Pro from Liberty City, yeah. Chad Ocho Cinco Rosado Johnson. See you Wednesday.
We out.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.